FlexCafe.com.
All right, Flex ATX, it's the Flex, Snoop Daniel, Zach Lucero. It is January 14th. This is a live show, and it'll be live every Thursday, 8 to 10 until football season, so after Longhorn Network. So, if you're a Longhorn basketball fan, heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma State yesterday.
Texas Tech, excuse me.
Lord God. Mac McClung with a three-pointer at the end to take it. And so this is where we'll be, and we'll mostly – honestly, going forward, we will be covering like football recruiting and 7-7s, but we'll be here a lot for basketball and baseball as well. So if you're in a high school area preps, this will be the plug for
you.
If you're into hoops and hardball, into special guests,
if you're into Austin area goats, legends, this is the place.
Hairstyles, flak jackets, swaggy shoes. Real quick birthday shout-outs. We start every hour with this quickly. Former Cedar Park and SMU running back Tyler Levine celebrated a birthday yesterday. He'll be joining the show here shortly, we hope. We never know about the guests. We just hope. We schedule them and then hope they call in because these people have lives. Former Georgetown, current Boise State linebacker Brandon Hawkins celebrating a birthday. Vandergrift libero Riley Weigelt has a birthday. You know, Vandergrift, they actually have volleyball talk just shortly. Two really talented liberos, and one of them is a Division I commit in Ireland McCauley. But then you also add in Riley Weigelt, and Coach Melissa Southall has a pretty good volleyball team on her hands.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of Division I pieces. I mean, you have a Division I libero, and then you have a girl going to play beach at Division I, which you can totally tell just the way she plays, how explosive she is. They're fun to watch, and I think this year when they kind of snuck up on people in the one district, I think that goes to show that even when you don't know too much about them, they still have the talent there, even on like an off year.
They were young though. I think that's why, because they lost district last year to Westwood, and then this year you lose Annie Stadhouse.
Right, without a Stadhouse, you can still win district though. I think that
Delaney
was huge.
Dilfer.
That was huge for that's huge for Coach Southall and for that program.
Yeah, the girl you were talking about earlier, Chloe Charles.
Yep.
She's the Florida State commit for beach, and they also have a young lady by the name of Samantha Wunsch, who's an excellent player too. So I don't know how I got into volleyball so hardcore, but two former I reporters. Oh, actually one current for Aikens, Isabella Vasquez. Happy birthday celebrating yesterday, and a former Georgetown our reporter Emily England, who was without a doubt one of our culture circle's best correspondents over like a 4-year span, going out to college and College Station. So happy birthday to Emily England there. All right, I guess we'll talk. Let's talk a little bit about Cedar Park. Lastly, I just want to shout out the defense, which I think is probably one of the most underrated components. When people talk about Cedar Park, they refer to the defense always as the Black Rain, which is great. They have a moniker, but they never, like, call out people individually. But that defensive line, we talk about one, he's their captain at center field every game, Hunter Hewitt. And they got two juniors behind him, Ian Ferguson and Murray Robinson. That front three for Cedar Park really opens the door. We have Shelby Battles playing that middle linebacker position. And then on the outside, you got two outside linebackers who have the speed of a defensive back. So when you talk about Joshua Bretz, number 23, being able to not only hit hard but cover a receiver down the field, you got Javion Mays on the other side who could also cover and play the run. I think even though people don't a lot of times shout out the individual names for Cedar Park, Black Rain defense is more than a moniker. It's more than a group. It's several actually excellent defensive players, and they're going to need them against the likes of Bowen and Jatavion Sanders from Denton Ryan tomorrow night, Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah, Billy Bowman, I mean, he's just I remember 2 years ago, I think Vandergrift played, and I do the sideline reporting for Vandergrift, so I'm sorry if I bring them up a little too much. But I remember talking to Coach Sanders before that game, and just off of film, this was like 2 years ago that he was like, "This is the best defensive line that we're gonna play all year," and I was like, "Until you get the playoffs," he's like, "No, even in the playoffs." And this is a 6A school talking about a 5A defensive line, and I think that's what you gotta have. I mean, we went through it earlier. Even Denton Ryan's quarterback is going to Memphis. That's a big time Division I school. So I mean, to go against a school that has that kind of athlete, you have to get the quarterback has to have at least enough time to get the ball to those guys. And if you take that away, that's how you win. And Cedar Park's defensive front and front seven is how you're going to do that, and they have the pieces there to do it.
Yeah, Logan Shaw also. When I talk about linebackers for Cedar Park, so special. Okay, let's go to the Vaquero Hotline. Without a doubt, this man's face is on my Cedar Park football, Mount Rushmore, Tyler Levine. Tyler, my longtime buddy, I appreciate you joining
alert,
the show.
Goat alert.
Goat alert. Goat alert. Tyler, thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you for joining the show.
No problem. Appreciate you having me.
No, okay, so I'm gonna get personal. Now, my first early memories of Tyler, not only as a super sophomore who was coming up behind his very popular brother and Tommy Levine, but I remember going to a G-Eazy concert, and I don't know if you were in eighth grade or what, but I was like, who's this kid with these big legs? I mean, I knew that you were going to play football eventually, but I want to say it's been fun to watch you basically grow up. And, like, you know, how is life? How has life been? You just celebrated a birthday. How old are you now?
I did. I'm 22 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, I mean, there's so many different directions that I can go, but I'll try to stay a little focused. And I want to talk about, first, of course, Cedar Park playing in the state championship tomorrow night. What are your memories from winning state when you had Max Sexton at quarterback and you were just like really emerging as a superstar yourself as a junior?
I mean, that experience alone was something super special. I mean, we went to state my sophomore year as well.
Yes.
Which was awesome, but even we didn't win that year, but I mean, my junior year was just something super special to me, especially being able to experience it with my brother and my friends. But yeah, just the week going into that, I mean, that was the goal from the start, and that was the biggest goal we wanted to accomplish all year, and going 16-0 definitely was the big capitalize for the end of the season. So
yeah, and before I throw it to Zach, I got to say my memories, Tyler, for me was you remember how dominant Thomas Hutchings was, especially like those last 2 years. I really felt you basically took his role and took it to a whole nother level. So just on a personal note, it's what my memories of it. But Zach,
yeah. So Tyler, I kind of your path to SMU has kind of been a little bit of a different one. Can you kind of talk about how you ultimately ended up there, and we'll hit on some points after that. But ultimately, how you ended up at SMU and what it's like there now that you really established yourself as a key piece of that team.
For sure. So I, if y'all know, I went to West Point after high school.
Yes,
very
for sure.
Blessed to go to such a prestigious academy and play football. But just, I totally believe everything happens for a reason, and God's got bigger plans for everybody. But I actually, after the prep school year, which is like a redshirt year there, I got medically disqualified for a year, which put me out for a year. I had to get heart surgery, and I broke my foot again. So that all set me back for a year. And I just totally believe everything happens for a reason. And then I got into SMU that spring of 2019. And after spring ball, everything just started rolling into play. I started meeting a lot of good guys. I knew the program was right for me. It was the offense we ran in high school as well, so that was nice. And then after the first season, I knew, like, this is going to be a good fit for me. And then after last season as well, getting a lot more carries and a lot more playing time on the offensive side and special teams, I knew that this is the program that's best for me. So it's been great so far.
Yeah, man, hearing your story is so inspiring, especially and it makes that a highlight play you had this year against Navy, your kind of viral moment, even sweeter. Can you talk about that and what the repercussions of that was, and like, did you gain some followers, and what was it like seeing yourself on ESPN? And then I want to know, whenever you like ran into that pile, did you close your eyes, or then you opened them and then you weren't down yet, or what?
So basically that play, just trying to go as hard as I can every play, making everybody try to tackle me. But basically, as soon as they all hit me, I felt myself land on top of some other guys, and I knew, like right in that moment, that I didn't go down. And that's why I kept running the end zone, and then the ref came up to me after, and I literally went up to him. I was like, thank you for not blowing your whistle. Like, I knew you knew I wasn't down. Like, I promise you, you can watch the Jumbotron right now, and I promise you I'm not down. But, I mean, after that, like, I honestly didn't even know it was on top 10. Like, one of our coaches, Coach Brassfield, came up to me, and he's like, you know it's going to go on top 10. I was like, I mean, it really wasn't that cool. But
coaches always say that.
Yeah, and so then later somebody sent me a video and they're like, hey, you made number 9 on top 10. I was like, oh, dang. But, I mean, I guess maybe some followers came in. Not sure. Don't really care about that. But.
Well, that must have been the West Point in you doing that against Navy. It was definitely fun to watch and to see your name kind of recirculated here in the Austin area. But so being in the kind of DFW area with all these teams, what do you know about the Cedar Park team this year, and what do you know, if anything, about their Denton Ryan team that they're going to go against?
So obviously I know, I mean, they're obviously at the state championship together and they're obviously talented teams, but I actually followed up with Cedar Park a lot this year, and I was really impressed with the way they've been playing offensively and defensively. And I was actually able to go to the Manville game, which was really cool to see since we lost to them my senior year. But yeah, Cedar Park, they've just been really dominating offense and defensively, putting up a lot of points, which was really catching my eye off when I would check in with scores after a game and I was literally looking at 82 points. I didn't know if I really believed it or not. And I was like, dang, that's awesome. But I just know Coach Apsik's like doing a great job over there, putting them where they need to be. And obviously Denton Ryan's a good team too. I know they have some players, but I mean, after what I know that Cedar Park's been through and the things they go through every weekend and every week and the practices and the extra work and the summer workouts, like I know there's no other better program than Cedar Park. So.
Yeah, then my last question to you, being someone who's gone through that state championship experience at Cowboy Stadium, if you were to talk to the team, what would you tell those guys, the Ryder Hernandez and the Cedar Park team, as they go into this huge game tomorrow?
I would just tell them to do their thing, keep their swagger. I mean, don't let the big things like get to them. Just do their normal game, play their best, and just don't change anything. I mean, they've been obviously putting up numbers all week, and Ryder has been just doing an amazing job this whole year, breaking tremendous records and whatnot. So, I mean, just doing the same thing they do every week. Like, I know Coach Apsik's still coaching it. It's just 1-0 each week. Every game's the same. No opponent's different. You just got to win the week each week. So,
since it's there in Dallas, you going to pull up or just watch it on TV?
I'm actually out of town right now, so I'll be watching it on TV, unfortunately.
See, Tyler is a jet setter. He does things with his life. He just be chilling at the house. Hey, you know, Tyler, like, lastly for me, I remember that your final game of your varsity career and the impassioned speech that you gave your team after that loss to Manville at Kyle Field. And number 31, even though Shelby Battles, where is it today? That's always Tyler Levine. We appreciate you joining the show. This is our first radio show back from a hiatus, so it's special that you're part of it. We appreciate you.
Really appreciate y'all having me.
But before we let you go, you shouting out to anybody?
Obviously, got to give out a shout out to my family, Bubbles, and also Cedar Park tomorrow. Good luck to those boys, and also the SME program.
Yeah. Oh, and shout out to Tatum, dude. Tatum was a goat for us, Tyler. For real,
Tatum was a goat.
Oh man. Man, Tatum, shout out to Tatum. Shout out to the whole Levine family, because it's my family too. Tyler, thank you. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it.
All right. Tyler Levine, former Cedar Park, current SMU. I think he's just classified as a sophomore.
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, with the transfer and stuff like that. I mean, seeing how they like are using him at SMU, he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. They called him Bam Bam for a reason, and he led Cedar Park to those deep runs because of his talent level. All right, speaking of talent level, possible future, I would say definite D1, especially with the recruiting recognition that he's gotten of late. On the Vaquero phone line right now, Round Rock defensive lineman, first team, all 25, 6A, DL, Luke Dodds. Luke, I appreciate you joining the show. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Luke, first off, but before we talk about, you know, the team and the district championship and the run and everything else, can we talk about what it meant for you to be first team for a district like 25-6A as deep and talented as it is?
Absolutely. So, you know, everyone in our district is really good. It's a great district. I mean, I couldn't have done it. We worked all summer, quarantine, weight rooms are closed. I was working at home. I was working with small group of kids just getting better, working. And when we got to the season, I got with my coach Walker, and he got me right, got all the moves down. And you know, it all just came together and it worked. It was great. Yes, sir.
Now, Luke, after missing the playoffs last year, like we kind of talked about over the summer how it left a bitter taste in your mouths, but I don't know if anybody was expecting a district title, which y'all accomplished. Can you talk about your expectations versus what you did in the 2020 season?
Well, we knew that no one expected us except for us because we know the work we put in. All my teammates, me, we put in crazy work all year round. And, you know, we had a talented team, but this year I felt like off the field we got really close over the summer, everyone as a group. And there was just everyone meshed and it came together as like a team. The defense improved. There was less mental mistakes. And we just trusted each other. That was a big thing.
Yeah, and I think if you kind of summarize the Round Rock run this year, I think two huge games for you guys were that Vandergriff game and that Lake Travis game. And when you think back to those games, what memories or what plays or moments stick out to you?
Just I don't know, great defense, ball control offense. We held the ball for a long time. We got sacks. We got off the field on third down, forced the other team to be uncomfortable. Just stuff like that was harder for us in the past. We did, and we did it well. We executed well, minimal mistakes, and yeah, just all that kind of made it magical this year.
Yeah, Luke, and I really felt last year if y'all had snuck into the playoffs, I think that team could have also made like a deep run to state quarterfinals, etc. But let's talk about you more personally. You know, earlier this week. Yeah, or I think it was on the 5th, maybe a week ago, you got the preferred walk-on offer from TCU. And then this morning, I wake up and I see a PWO from Baylor. What's happened of late that has made – we all know your talent level, but what's happened of late to make the teams really take notice and start offering?
Well, I have two great coaches, Coach Walker and Coach Moore, who have connections. Coach Moore played at TCU. He reached out to them for me. Coach Walker has been throwing my name all across the country because he played college ball and he knows a lot of coaches, and he's just been sticking his neck out for me, and he's put it in front of the right people, and they've liked my film, and that's really how this has gone.
Yeah, so it's like that. A lot of kids think like D1 or bust, and they really get down on themselves when they don't get these high profile offers. But I think the walk-on route is so interesting, and we've seen it succeed with so many players. I mean,
Mason Ramirez.
Yeah, even as close as Baker Mayfield too, to the most extreme level. What does that mean to you? Like, if you were to choose that route, what does that mean to you in terms of the work that you could put in and the rewards that it could potentially reap?
Well, the ceiling is super high at a program like TCU or Baylor. I mean, it's work. You're the underdog, and you have to have a chip on your shoulder, so you have to work, and you have to become better than the kids on scholarship to get a scholarship, because you're coming in, their expectations are so low, like you're a scout team player for them almost. And, you know, you just have to, work, and you get put on scholarship, you have to get noticed, you have to create relationships. It's, you know, it's not easy, but, I mean, if you're cut out for it, if you have good work ethic, it'll work, and I think I have that.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. Is that something that scares you, or do you know, are you confident enough in yourself and your work ethic? And I think that's kind of a staple of that Round Rock program to be willing to put in that work ethic and the extra work needed to be a walk-on success story.
Yes, sir. So the weight room is what is drilled into us since freshman year at Round Rock, and we're tough because of it. We like wear teams out in the fourth quarter because of the weight room. And I mean, I've had kids come back from college, like James Lynch and whatnot. They all say that they're prepared. Like, it's because Round Rock has taught them right. Obviously, you know, I mean, it's a whole different game because when you get into college, it's nutrition. It's everything. It's not just the weight room, like kind of it is in high school. Because I mean, they can afford all that stuff. But yeah.
You saying money helps. All right, Luke Dodds on the phone from Round Rock. And, you know, and speaking of Baylor and James Lynch, you know, James Lynch went to Baylor and set a college record for most sacks in a season. Will you, Luke, set a Round Rock record for most sacks in a season with 12 and a half, 20 hurries, 3 forced fumbles, even broke up some passes? So we want to say congratulations to you, unanimous 25-6A selection for first team in that incredible district, a district champ. And, man, we couldn't be more proud. The, the upset of Lake Travis. I mean, that'll go down in everyone's memory. Before we let you go tonight, Luca, who are you shouting out to?
I'm going to shout out my Coach Walker, Coach Moore, Coach Cheatham, Coach Elizondo. You know, three defensive coaches, the head coach have all helped me. My family, my brother especially, he's the reason I'm getting recruited because he wanted me to. A year ago, I didn't even think I was going to play college football. He, like, just sent some emails, and it's been downhill ever since then. Also, my girlfriend and her family, they've supported me like crazy. And just the entire community and all my teammates, everything. It's been great this year.
All right. Zach, anything?
No, well, thanks, Luke, man. I do the sideline reporting for Vernon Griffin, man. Your Round Rock team, and you were so fun to watch. So congratulations on a great season. We wish you all the best in terms of colleges, and I'm sure we'll follow whatever path you take. And we wish you the best, man. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you, 94. Luke Dodds, all right? First team unanimous, All-District 25-6A, area finalist, a heartbreaking loss to Steele. I swear, if they had beat Steele that night, I really, in my heart of hearts, think they would have played Westlake in that game in the state quarterfinals eventually. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that Westlake team and their matchup against another powerhouse school in South Lake Carroll. They call it Dodge Bowl. It's a flex.
Hey, Austin, who's ready for some football?
Online.net.
All right, big thank you to Round Rock's Luke Dodd and a former Cedar Park, current SMU running back Tyler Levine for starting off our 9 o'clock hour. It's a flex. Snoop Daniel, Zach Lucero here every Thursday night, 8 to 10 o'clock until football season when we'll... And that, to be honest, that really... Oh, football season is still 7 months away, roughly.
Only 7 months away?
Only. But you know what? Spring camps will definitely start here in like 2 months even. There's spring camps that start the week after spring break. So you'll have football, spring camp action in March. They'll get into more of a full swing in April. And then you head into football 7 season, assuming they have it. I think they will.
They should have it.
It was so hard to do summer
not,
sevens
we'll just
last
run
year.
Our own.
Well, you want to go down that road of controversy? Do you remember the unofficial people who tried to host the State Sevens tournament when the folks for the State 707, they said they weren't going to do it, and then a private company came in and said they were going to rent out Veterans Park down in College Station and host their own official Renegade State Sevens, and how much grief they got for
that.
See,
I wasn't playing when I was talking about Underground 7-on-7, because that's like what was really happening, like during the height of COVID was like the peak time to be doing 7-on-7, to be training for the upcoming football season. So people were doing whatever means necessary and whatever means were unnecessary, really, to try to get some reps in, and people caught some slack for it, for sure.
Yeah, so hoping things are a little more loosened up as we head into this summer. But also, we will not be neglecting basketball or baseball. Hoops and Hardwood is what we're calling it. Earlier tonight, we had Alyssa Knight from the number one ranked Cedar Park Lady Timberwolves, and we also had Zane Champagne, the guard forward for the Georgetown Eagles, which are pining for that 25-5A district championship. So it should be a fun off season. I don't even know what to call it. But
I mean, I guess with flex, there's never off season.
No,
you cover everything. So I mean,
not.
If it's not volleyball season, it's football season. If it's not football season, it's basketball and baseball, and then
soccer,
7-on-7 and start all over. Yeah, soccer and start all over. So could maybe cover some track. I don't know, but baseball is going to be super fun.
Yes,
I mean, with the amount of like high profile commitments that we've already had in a summer where no one was doing anything. The actual season is going to be so fun.
Yeah, we'll get to see Ace Whitehead, who's a Texas commit, play for Lampasas. Also, Charles O'Bannon, that's a former UCLA player. Cameron O'Bannon, number 15, down at Dripping Springs, also a Texas commit. When you look over at Lake Travis, they basically have a Division I / JUCO baseball team.
And that's
for
like
varsity.
The Lake Travis of old. Like, that's the team that you would see like in the playoffs, that you would like circle and like hope we don't play them, kind of like Katy this year or Westlake this year in football, that you would circle because they have a D1 staff. I mean, you get their starter out the game, or you get their like number three guy, and he's going to a big time school. I mean, there's no getting away from it. So, and I think this is probably the richest Central Texas has been in terms of baseball recruiting, maybe ever, or in a long time at least.
So it'll be fun, to say the least, to actually cover games. And
Brady,
I don't think
Buchanan at Vandergriff.
It hasn't been done well, to be candid. Like, people cover like the state championships maybe, but baseball, like, they're starting to get more in the football mood. So we promise to put our focus
baseball
on baseball.
Is nothing but pictures always.
Correct. There's not a lot of video, unless you're Donald J. Boyles.
Yeah.
Then you have a lot of video, which is a GOAT legend of really of the state of Texas recruiting. Wow. Where do I even go right now? You want to talk about Westlake real quick?
I think we got to break that. We got to break down that game. We kind of broke ish down as good as breaking down as me and you can do that Cedar Park that Cedar Park Denton Ryan game. But I think a game that's even more riveting in terms of storylines and things like that is got to be Westlake versus South Lake Carroll Saturday night at 7 o'clock over at Cowboy Stadium.
Some people call it dodgeball, but you said what?
Because some people calling it the Brads versus the Chads. It's going to be a game that's going to be a lot of fun, and I think a game that I think high school football fans have seen coming for a long time in terms of
terms
of the Dodges.
Brads versus Chads. Which is Westlake? Are they Brads or Chads?
I don't know. Which one do you think is better to be?
Chads. I don't know. Brads. There aren't any Brads or Chads that I can think of off the top of my head on Westlake, though.
I guarantee you South Lake's got at least three.
Oh, my God. This is the real breakdown. Who is going to have more blonde hair on their team?
Cedar Park.
On Saturday night. Well,
didn't Cedar Park just do it?
Yeah,
I think they just did it.
They did, because I saw Cole Kruger, Cade Haught, Jack Estera. They all had blonde hair. But you know, because, okay, when I think of that tradition, unfortunately, I think of like Highland Park or like a South Lake Carroll, because I think they were the first schools to do it.
What was that school? Stephenville. They did it a bunch too. But man, one of these schools, Cedar Park, y'all guys have got to like really latch on to Snoop and make him partake in this with you. That would be hilarious.
Shut up, no fam.
To see the bleached blonde hair popping out the side of the flex hat.
Oh my God.
That would be awesome. You guys should have done that. So you guys got to, somebody's got to make state next year and do this and make Snoop dye his
hair
blonde.
I'll do it. Oh my God. Yeah, who's going to have more blonde hair? Okay. So Westlake, 13-0. South Lake Carroll has actually lost a game. They're 12-1. The one game they lost was to Rockwall, 44-42. Back on October 8th, and they also didn't have Quinn Ewers, who was injured at quarterback.
And Rockwall is like I think, state semifinal or a quarterfinal team this year. So, I mean, it's definitely that Rockwall beat Allen last year. I mean, Rockwall's a team that's definitely on the come up, and a loss to them is definitely not something to look down on. So, I mean, these are two, like, don't get the record wrong. Like, just because they have one loss, this is still two super, super high-powered programs facing off and probably what's going to be the biggest game of the Texas high school football season.
Well, it's the main event. It's Saturday at 7 o'clock. Of course, Craig Way will have your call on Fox Sports Southwest. Now, I do want to focus on Westlake because 104.9 The Horn is the official Lake Travis Cavaliers football flagship. So we don't really get to talk about Westlake as often. And I know Joe Taylor and them, they have them over at The Horn and 1370, but I mean, nobody's going to cover Westlake like Flex. But real quick on South Lake Carroll, Quinn Ewers, we talked about, former UT Longhorn commit, now a Ohio State commit. However, he has not signed a dotted line. Could Sarkisian lure him over? On the other side of the ball, you have a quarterback who Texas has offered in Cade Klubnik, who hasn't signed a dotted line. He's also classed in 2022. More on that in a moment, because I do want to, for a second, just talk briefly about a super sophomore on the Carroll Dragons by the name of Owen Allen, class of 2023. This young man has over 2,000 rushing yards, 25 touchdowns. I don't think Westlake has really played a running back of this caliber. However, for Westlake to have a linebacker like Nick Morris Jr., you want a player who can tackle the opposition's best running back one-on-one. You know, because all the time you aren't going to get these team tackles every time. If you have somebody that can make the stop one-on-one against a talent like the running back Owen Allen for South Lake Carroll, I think Westlake has a shot. And for me, I think it's Westlake by double digits, but...
See, I don't know. I mean, these are just two – the offenses are so high-powered on both of these teams. I mean, we're talking about Well, like where there's a Quinn, there's a way. With Quinn Ewers, it's the highest rated prospect
in the country.
In the country, but I mean, this highest rated prospect in general in a really, really long time. He has a perfect 5-star rating. I mean, normally you'll see a guy with 5 stars, but in terms of like their rating, like out of 100, isn't 100. But this guy's 100. So I mean, you understand why coaches are all up in his DMs trying to lure his talent to their university. So I mean, when you have a guy like that, you can't count him out of a game. It's kind of like talking about LeBron James. It's like you can never count the Lakers out because they have LeBron James.
Are you comparing Quinn Ewers to LeBron James?
I mean, I think you have maybe like Luka or something like that. Wow. That would maybe be a better comparison. But I mean, you when you have a guy like that, they always have a chance in a game just because they have the ability to really take a game over. They have a tight end, a 6'4", 210, so definitely one of the bigger guys that Westlake has had to go against. He's currently a 3-star guy, and then that's just the 2022 guys. They have a receiver this year that's a 3-star guy going to Minnesota.
Brady Boyd.
Yeah, and then the kicking game, which I think Austin schools almost always have a leg up on in these playoff runs, is they always have a kicker. That's something that we're kind of blessed with in this area, to be able to cover guys that have gone to kick at the next level. Like, you think about Dicker, you think about Stadhouse and things like that, and that's not always something that other programs get to experience, but you're not going to have that advantage in this game. I mean, they have a kicker that's a three-star kicker going to UConn. So, I mean, these teams are so evenly matched in terms of just the way they prepare and how well coached they are. I mean, they got to be when one coach coached the other one on how to coach.
Yeah. And of course, he's talking about, for those who aren't really in the know, Todd Dodge, the head football coach at Westlake, the head football coach for South Lake Carroll, Riley Dodge, the son of Todd Dodge, who won a state championship for his
playing
dad.
Playing
for him. The game where he barfed.
At South Lake Carroll.
Barfed and threw a touchdown. I will say on the kicker note, like, Joe McFadden is good, but Charlie Barnett, class of 22 for Westlake. He had a 48-yard field goal against North Shore last week, which really was the difference. They won 24-21. If he does not hit that late field goal, 48 yards at that, which was a career high in a game as high-pressured as a game against Galena North Shore, I think Charlie might be on the come up, and he might be higher than a 3-star athlete. Defensively, I talked about Nick Morris a little bit. I think you can make an argument that Lucas Maru is the defensive MVP for the team, number 3. He's covering passes. He's coming up making stops on the run. Carter Barksdale, he's a rugby commit. Class of 22, had a pick last week against Galena North Shore. And I think the most interesting element for Westlake is a person who last year won defensive MVP of the state championship game with 2 interceptions against Denton Guyer. And that's number 14, Mookie Taft. And what's even more incredible is of late, Coach Dodge has been putting Mookie on offense, and all he does is score touchdowns and or make plays that basically his big 30-yard reception against North Shore in the fourth quarter on third down and long base, and in ways it sealed that victory for Westlake.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, looking at this matchup, you got to say that Westlake has the upper hand on defense. I mean, I think you talk to any coach that has scouted against Westlake or played against Westlake, that Westlake, and this is something I've heard from coaches at other schools, that Westlake has the best front seven that they've maybe ever seen. And that's something that you're going to have to do against a guy like Quinn Ewers. If you let him pick you apart, he's going to do just that. And I think Westlake has the stoppers up front, has the stoppers at that mid-level, the linebackers, to really make it a tough night for Quinn Ewers. So, and I think if you're just a high school football fan that has stumbled across this station as you're driving through, and you're disappointed that it's not North Shore versus Duncanville, a rematch of last year's game, you're not missing a beat with Westlake versus South Lake Carroll. This matchup is just as exciting, if not more, in terms of the potential recruits that are on the field. You have the number 1 overall recruit in the nation in Quinn Ewers. You have an up-and-coming, definitely going to be an Elite 11 guy in Cade Klubnik. You have stars on both sides of the ball. You have high-powered offense. This is a game that is very rightfully slated as the primetime game on Saturday night.
Yeah, a couple of Westlake names that I want to drop defensively, and again, like almost similar to Cedar Park, besides Nick Morris, who's a Duke, he's already signed to Duke, they don't have a lot of guys who are signed to go Division I. But Lucas Moreau, a Columbia commit, we mentioned. But Brady Lamb, what he's done this year, averaging 12 tackles a game. He's really broken out as a senior. I talked about Lucas Moreau. Nick Hogan, a player that played part-time sparingly.
Nolan Hogan.
Yeah, Nolan Hogan. Not Nolan Hogan. Nick Hogan. Not related to Aaron Hogan. Nick Hogan has done a great job. In fact, he's has 5 sacks on the year. Carter Barksdale, I talked about. Chapel Stewart. Not Charlie. Charlie Fournier is the one at Vandergrift. Who? Christian Fournier is the Fournier. Excuse me, Fournier. That's at Wesley. You got to get it right. You know, I mean, all this year we've been learning pronunciations. Brayton Davis is a UT San Antonio baseball commit, number 95. He's been having a strong season playing on the line. And Hayden Bray and Tavian Brown. Jax Crockett is another guy who's been on varsity since the sophomore. Came up as a running back. They switched him to DB mostly this year. And really has paid off because not only has it put him on the field, but he's been able to make big plays. And I can see Jax getting some offers on defense as far as what his performances really commanded. So Westlake versus Southlake Carroll, Brad's versus Chad's, 7 p.m. at Cowboy
Dodge
Stadium.
Dodge versus Dodge. And I think the recruiting impact this game has, we saw it with Lake Travis a few years back when they won with Charlie Brewer. We saw it last year with the Westlake team. If you win this game, if you ball out in this game, if you're not highly recruited, you're not committed to Duke, you're not the number one overall recruit in the nation, colleges will see you. I mean, we saw Lake Travis win a few years back, and then half the team got offered by Baylor. So, I mean, if you make noise, you'll definitely be heard. So, if you're one of these players, definitely, this is definitely the biggest stage, and it's definitely a stage that you want to take full advantage of.
And real quick, Zane Miners and Gray Knack for as far as their running backs are concerned. I know Luke Respass was able to get into the game, you know, like in the non-playoffs, but really they put it on Zane. I think North Shore circled Zane Miners, number 20, on their scouting report and really held him in check. So they had to lean on Gray Knack for it, and really Kate Klepnik had to handle some of the rushing duties. So I think Westlake is in good shape headed into Saturday. All right, John, let's try it. Like I said, we're going to be talking a lot of basketball and baseball going forward. I know, and we'll still talk football for sure. But we will be paying attention to hoops in particular. And what we'll do, because there's a lot of districts, Zach, so this is a first for all of us. So if this isn't very smooth, it's a live show. No Memorex here. Let's start by talking about District 25-6A. Should be the top one. There we go.
6A.
Woo, beautiful, John. All right, here we go. These are the matchups for tomorrow, COVID permitting. Because I'm telling you, like, coronavirus, games are on one moment, and then by morning, it'll be off.
Pending McPending.
Vandergrift Hutto, Vista Ridge Round Rock, Westwood versus Cedar Ridge, Stony Point versus McNeil. Now, Zach, I know you don't know a lot about basketball yet, and maybe that'll change.
I know
here
about basketball like as a game, but not
correct
necessarily.
Okay. But as we educate ourselves and the listeners going forward, I would like to tell you a little bit about the Round Rock Dragons. They're actually ranked in 6A this year. Seth Ford, the QB1 for the Dragons, is The Burly Boy legend, a key member of that Round Rock Dragons team. And Jalen Brooks, who was the newcomer of the year in District 13-6A last year, which is this year's 25-6A. You throw in a lefty, Andrew O'Neill. You got a Reese Miller, number 0, a three-point shooter. I would like to say if I have a 25-6A team to watch, I give you the Round Rock Dragons, Zach Lucero. No Greg Brown at Vandergrift this year, so they leap them.
Yeah, I know no Greg Brown at Vandergrift. I think locally he's probably, his spot has been taken over by KJ Adams at Westlake in terms of a big star. I know that name. But I Vandergrift is definitely in that kind of a rebuilding, can you even say that, in high school kind of phase. But I know they have some key players, that Merrill Bertrand with the calls this year. I know they had a buzzer beater win in like kind of the pre-district. So there's still a program that has a bunch of excitement, probably maybe the leftover excitement from Greg Brown. And a program that you're definitely going to have to see how they bounce back without having one of the best players to come through Austin in a long time.
I will say Bryce Friday and Joshua Wentz, they really make Vandergrift go. But we'll talk about them more. Round Rock, their next game is tomorrow night versus Vista Ridge. Round Rock is 14-3 overall. So that's our 25-6A. Now let's talk about 26-6A, which should be the next button down.
District 26. 6A.
Ooh, I like the male-female alternate voice on the intro there. Like it. Okay, so eight teams in this district. Alphabetically, Austin High, Ake is Austin High, Bowie. Lake Travis, Hayes, San Marcos, Westlake, or Del Valley, squeeze in there. Here are your matchups tomorrow. Pending McPending, is that what you said?
Pending McPending.
Oh my God. Westlake supposedly hosting Del Valley. Lake Travis hosting San Marcos. Bowie hosting Austin High. Aikens versus Hayes. I will start by saying this. Rightfully so, AISD is being so strict on letting people watch their games.
They're taking over LISD's spot?
Almost to another level. Like, they're only allowing, like, parents, like,
two tickets a player or
that's
something like that,
it.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I don't want to be, like, a fun goalie. I always say, don't block the fun. But this is for health reasons. And I don't want to say it's hurting our coverage, but I guess it in ways it is, because we rely so much on our reporters, our student reporters, to be at this game. But, like, I hit up Bowie, Coach Collier, and them, and they were adamant. They're like, Snoop, no. They're like, maybe soon. And they're like, you know what? We are moments away to where they ain't going to allow nobody. Like, no parents, nobody. Just refs and teams if they don't end the game. So I will talk a little bit about KJ Adams. You mentioned him, the Westlake star. He would be at the top of the food chain for Austin area basketball players. Kansas commit. The other night, I don't know if you saw on Instagram, Twitter. We even put it on TikTok. He had this dunk against Lake Travis. The reason we figured out he was so angry is because he was in foul trouble against Lake Travis, which is a big rivalry game. He didn't play almost a whole third quarter. And so when he got in the fourth, he went up. My man Miguel Mantilla, that's our family right there, but he was kind of in the way of KJ as he was going up. And Adams, you know, I know Westlake has not had good luck in the playoffs in the past. They lost to Allen that one year where Will Baker was a senior. They had Keontae Kennedy. And then last year was a big disappointment, them falling in round two of the area round of the postseason. But I think what Westlake, if you got to watch a team from there, that's your team to watch, Zach. Westlake Chaparrals. All right, let's talk about District 17, 5A. Be the third one.
District 17, 5A.
All right, so this is basically the Austin Independent School District. Tomorrow, your tentative matchups are Navarro versus Travis, excuse me. LASA, which is Liberal Arts and Sciences Academy, the Raptors, taking on the McCallum Knights. Northeast Raiders versus Lockhart. Anderson versus Crockett, pending McPending. I will say, one note on the Northeast Raiders. They do have Marcus Martin, who is the returning newcomer of the year, according to the Austin American-Statesman. But what is really making Northeast, formerly Reagan, go right now is the return of Javinson Silvestri. He is a guy who broke out last year as a sophomore, averaged, I want to say, close to 20 a game. He moved to Florida in the offseason. We thought we lost him, but lo and behold, he dropped like 30 points last night on Tuesday night. So Northeast is my team to watch for 17-5A. Let's talk about 18-5A now.
District 18, 5A.
Okay, I'm going to run through these quick because I know we're getting low in time and we probably need to take a break. So real quick, Connolly, Elgin, Maynard versus Cedar Creek, 18-5A. Let's hit 25-5A. He's like, John's like, whoa.
District 25, 5A.
Snoop, you're out of control. Georgetown, Marble Falls, Rouse, Liberty Hill, Eastview, Glen, Cedar Park versus Leander. That's your tentative 25-5A matchups. Now let's hit Taps.
District Taps. And Greater Austin Area.
All right, so basically, John, that's what it'll be like, you know, as we go forward. So this is our first show together tonight, so we're doing behind-the-curtain stuff on air live too, but your Taps matchups tomorrow: Brentwood Christian versus St. Michael's, Hyde Park versus Geneva. I did not see games scheduled for Regents, but that doesn't mean that they aren't playing, because like I said, COVID has the schedules real crazy.
Taps will just be hard to find sometimes.
It is. The Greater Austin Area, as it was in the imaging before, Tyvee versus Buta Lehman. Kyle Lehman. Buta Johnson versus Veterans Memorial, Dripping Springs at Bernie Champion, Canyon versus Alamo Heights. Lastly, 24A. Maynard New Tech versus Giddings. Austin Achieve versus LBJ. Eastside Memorial versus LaGrange. We'll take a quick break and be back to close it out. It's a Flex.
This is Chad Hastings, Sinus and
Domain.
Flex ATX Team of the Week.
Yay, team!
For our Team of the Week for basketball this week, Hendrickson Hawks with their 66-62 win, beating Maynard. Both were previously unbeaten in District 18 5A play. Hendrickson improves to 5-0 under head coach Dustin Knight. They'll be taking on Connolly tomorrow. Our reporter Aaron Anderson caught up with Mashai Hill. He's a super sophomore of Hendrickson after that win over Maynard.
I mean, I'm glad that we were tough as a whole. I mean, everybody did great in the end. It was a key effort by everybody, all effort. So I'm very proud of that.
Do you have any pregame music you listen to or anything like that?
Pregame music? Not really. I try to clear my head before the game, and okay. I don't really think about too much.
You got any shout-outs you'd like to get out with?
Shout-out the team. Shout-out Jay Will.
All right, there we go. All right, so big shout-out to the Hendrickson Hawks, our Team of the Week. As we go forward, we'll have our Team of the Week. Player of the Week, and I had two Coach's Corner interviews. I had one with Carl Apsek at Cedar Park and one with Todd Dodge at Westlake, but we didn't have time to play him. Not tonight.
Too crazy. First show, too crazy.
I'm looking at a picture of Chad Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, the quarterback for Cedar Park?
Yes. Is it Brad Hernandez or Chad Hernandez?
He looked like Chad Hernandez. he looked like he just transferred from South Lake Carroll just for this game.
Oh, my God. You got to love the playoff blondes. We want to wish the best of luck to Cedar Park tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Would you rather do a playoff blonde or a playoff mohawk?
Mohawk.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I might try the blonding next year. I might try a little patch. Because you know how, like, today the trend is to only color a little part of your hair?
If you got to do it, you got to go full on Chad Hernandez.
Oh, my God. Chad Daniel?
Yeah, Chad Daniel.
Brad Daniel?
That's the one.
Craig Way always calls me J.J. Donaldson, which I think is, like, the blondest old school name ever. But, well, we got, like, 2 minutes. So Cedar Park versus Denton Ryan tomorrow, Cowboys Stadium, 7 o'clock kick. You can check out Craig Way on the call on television, Fox Sports Southwest. He will then call the next day. Cedar Hill versus Katy.
Correct.
It's the 1 o'clock game on Saturday. Craig will call that. Then he'll call Westlake versus South Lake Carroll, Brad's versus Chad's, Dodgeball 2021. And it's so funny. Okay, so it's almost eerily ironic. I don't even know if that's the correct word, but it's the 100th year of UIL, Texas High School Football. The game that was supposed to start this COVID cloud year was supposed to be
That's creepy.
Westlake versus South Lake Carroll at I don't know if it was going to be at Arlington Stadium or Cowboys Stadium. That was supposed to kick off this 100th year in UIL, but instead it winds up being
the last game of the season.
So I'm telling y'all that what we are living through right now is something that they'll be talking about decades from now. So all we can do is just witness it.
Cover it. Talk about it.
Zach, you shout out to anybody?
Yeah, shout out you. Shout out to the best producers here at The Horn. You guys are great. You did a great job. Shout out all my G's. Shout out God. Shout out gang.
Shout out John. Show one. Thank you for
John.
Being patient, because I know that this show is a little nutty, and it's definitely not like The Tower or RBKD or all those great professional shows.
Y'all made it easy.
This is a wacky presentation. Shout out to all the class of 2021 who worked hard and stayed abstinent from socializing to stay healthy enough to do the season. Talking about COVID here. And big shout out to Cedar Park and Westlake. Thank y'all so much for taking us on this journey. For us to still be playing football midway through January is something that has got to be once in a lifetime. I don't ever foresee this happening again, unless COVID. So, all right. Keep looking up. That's where it all is.
There's been a Sark sighting in Austin.